We're on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, and we just began the Mishnah, which is about two-thirds of the way down. Now, until this Mishnah, we spoke about a kosel, a mechitza, a wall that separates two chatzeros, and the conditions for combining the two chatzeros in such a way that one eruv would suffice for both chatzeros. We spoke at great length about miut, right, to diminish the height of ten tefachim. Now, the Mishnah addresses the case of a ditch, which is called in the language of the Mishnah charitz, that separates two chatzeros. And it makes it impossible for one eruv to suffice for both chatzeros, to allow them to carry from one chatzah to the other. The eruv is invalid because the charitz is considered a separation, like the case of the kosel that we discussed at great length last week, between the two chatzeros. Now, obviously, if you have a ditch, you have to ask yourself how wide it is, how deep it is. For example, when we talk about width, obviously, if you step, past your chatzer in the direction of your neighbor's chatzer, and you land in the ditch, that happened to me, by the way, once when I was in the army. We were down in Gaza, and it was the rainiest day and night of the year. I mean, everything was mud. I can't even begin to describe it. And I had to go from the camp to, pardon the phrase, use the facilities. They weren't really facilities, but you can. So I fell into a ditch. When I got up from the ditch, my boot was in the bottom of the ditch. I'll never forget it. It was one of those experiences you don't forget. Anyway, I'm just using this as a marshal, but what happens is that if the ditch is very narrow, then you could just jump over it. But if it's four tefachim wide, that's not a good idea unless you're a long distance jumper, you know. But obviously, if you put a plank and lay it over carefully between one side of the ditch to the other, then it's easy access to go from one to the other. It becomes like a Pesach in a kosel. So the Mishnah says the following: charitz shebein shtei chatzeros. If the charitz is a very profound charitz, it has the following two dimensions. Number one, it's amok asara. It's 10 tefachim deep. You don't want to fall into such a ditch. V'rochav arba, and it's got a width of 4 tefachim. Is then ma'arvim shnayim v'ein ma'arvim echad. Which means the following. Shnayim means that each chutz has to make its own eruv. So for those batim that share the chutz on the right side, they have to set their eruv up. And the left side, because they're not related to each other. There's no tziruf, there's no connection between the two chatzeros. And Eimav Arvin Echad means they cannot set up one Eruv for both chatzeros that will allow them to carry from one to the other. Now, the good news here is that if Eimav Arvin Echad, in the absence of one of the Bnei HaChatzer, if he doesn't participate in the Eruv, that will not mess up the Eruv for the Bnei Chatzar on the other side of the ditch. Do you follow what I mean? It's not a regular Oseres because it's a separate Chatzar, totally independent. So when it says in the Mishnah, Ma'arvim Shnayim, which on the one hand sounds like a Chumrah because each Chatzar now has to set up its own Eruv, but again, there's also the flip side, the good news of it, is that the non-participation of any of the Bnei HaChatzar on one side of the ditch has no impact on the Eruv that is established by the Bnei HaChatzar on the other side of the ditch. Now the Mishnah wants to know about miut. Again, in the case of a koso, we said miut means, you know, to create some sort of ladder that makes it easy to climb and vault over to the other side of the koso. But in the case of a ditch, we're talking about landfills. Now, obviously, if you fill in the ditch, a lot's going to depend upon what kind of material you use to fill in the ditch. And he says the following, afilu mole kash o teven. It's not going to help you at all if you put straw. And again, the different types of straw, there's kash, there's teven. That's not going to help you. It's still a ditch, and it's a mafsik, bein shtei chatzeros, and therefore they don't have a joint eruv. But mole ofar otsroros, however, if instead of straw, which is a very soft kind of substance, he uses dirt or pebbles, and he fills up this ditch, then it's called sosum. Sosum is like miet in kosel, is sosum in the case of a charitz. It's a charitz that's sosum. And once it's sosum, then it's not mafsik, and one eruv will suffice, ma'arvim echad, for the both chatzes, ma'arvim shnayim, which means that they cannot separate and say, well, you guys on your side of the chatzer, on your side of the ditch, you'll make your own eruv chatzeros, and we'll make our own. That's not going to cut the mustard. Why? Because there's a tziruf and a chibur between the two chatzeros. Once he fills up the ditch with afar or with sroros. Now, exactly how much afar or sroros, how much dirt or pebbles does he have to put into the ditch? Does he have to completely sosem it up until the top? Says the Ritva, no, he doesn't have to cover it all, the entire height. As long as between the top of the afar and the sroros, there's no space of 10 tfachim. So let's say, for example, you had a charitz that had 20 tfachim in depth. And you filled up enough ofer tzroros so that now you have, let's say, 9.9 tfachim of airspace left to the ditch. That's sufficient. Then he says the following. As far as the rochav is concerned, you need a minimum of a width of 4 tfachim in order to be a hefsek. If he puts afar and sroros in such a way that he diminishes the width of this ditch and it's less than 4 tfachim wide, then ma'arvim shteach atzeros yachad. So that the word mila in our Mishnah, right? Mila, do you see that word? Or mile? Is it mila, mile? I don't know. Can't see it. Anyway, mila. The word mila, he thinks, means to fill it up from bottom to top, or top here means less than 10 tefachim. So that the Mishnah really doesn't explicitly offer the option of filling in the width, because the word mila would not be appropriate if he's stuffing it up on the sides in such a way that he's making it more narrow. So he says that the Ritva says that the reason why the Mishnah uses the word mila is because of the ratio in the case of kash v'tevin. And he's telling you that even if the charitz was filled up completely from the bottom to the top with kash and teven, it still does not undermine the mafsik status of the charitz. So the word mole, which applies to both teven and kash on the one end, and also to tsroros and afar on the other hand, so that's why the Mishnah used the word mila, but really it doesn't have to be mila. Now he quotes Rabbeinu Yonasan. Rabbeinu Yonasan says, trying to understand, he says the following. So again, I'm going to present Rabbeinu Yonasan. I think it's a conceptual breakthrough. I'm not 100% sure of all the nuances and the details of the, you know, the scenario. Rabbeinu Yonasan wants to suggest that if he uses Ofar and Tsroros to fill the ditch, then he says, sorry, I just want to underline the right words here so I get this right. He says that it's not necessary to fill in Ofar and Tsroros from bottom to top. Again, that we saw already in the Ritva, but he's saying something different. He's saying that whatever part of the Charitz was filled, that itself generates a new din. He says, Hachelek Becharitz, that part of the Charitz sheyeshbo Ofar Tzoros, where he filled it in with Ofar Tzoros, Nechshav Kisosu, and he says that he hasn't filled up the Charitz with Ofar Tzoros. See, it's not written very well here. I'm going to have to use my imagination here. I hope I'm not misleading you. Let's go back for a moment to the Ritva. The Ritva also agrees that you don't have to fill up the Charitz with Ofar and Tzroros for the entire height, you know, from the bottom all the way to the top. But you have to guarantee that there's less than 10 tefachim in Gova, right? After he fills in with Ofar and Tzroros. So far, so good. I mean, that's intuitively compelling. I think what Rabbeinu Yonasan is saying is that even if part of the Charitz is filled with Ofar and Tzroros, that already creates a new halachic status, which I'm going to, again, this is, the next sentence is coming from Berzon, so Be'eravon Mugbal, and that is that even if there's still 10 tefachim in height, but he did a landfill of 10 tefachim. So you have a charitz that's 20 tefachim deep. He fills in 10 tefachim. But yet it's still a charitz, because it's not 9.9 tefachim of gova that's left in airspace. It's a full 10 tefachim. But the milui, in which he filled not 10 tefachim's worth of the charitz with afar and tzvoris, that's also a milui. So the Rabbi Yonasa now comes up with the following conceptual breakthrough. He says, Yecholim kol chotzer le'arev li'atzmo, v'yecholim gam li'arev biyachad. You hear what he's saying? He's saying like there are two dinim over here. If the two chatzeros want to separate one from the other, if that's their first choice, then we'll allow them to do so, because there is a charitz of ten tefachim that separates them. If on the other hand they decide that they want to join forces and have one common Eruv, that's also an option, because there is a milui of ten tefachim. Did anybody follow what I said? Truth is, I don't see you that well, so I can't tell whether you're shaking your head this way or that way.
I'm following what you're saying, but I have to admit I don't understand it. I understand the words, I just don't understand the concept. I mean, because he filled... What if it was 18, originally 18 tefachim, not 20 tefachim?
And he filled it in 10 tefachim?
Yeah.
I don't need the Rabbi Yonas, and I have the Ritva for that. The Ritva says that he's already reduced the gova, the height of this charitz, to less than 10 tefachim. I gave you an example of 9.9. So it was 20 tefachim, and he fills it in 10.1 tefach. I don't need Rabbeinu Yonason. Rabbeinu Yonason is saying, again, this is Berzon's interpretation. It's not clear in the words here. I don't have access to Rabbeinu Yonason. That even if there's 10 tefachim of airspace, begova, whether it's Ritva would say in such a case, the mafsik is there, the charitz is very much alive and well, and the only option that they have here is to separate and create two different independent eruvim. They don't have the option, according to the Tva, of joining forces into one eruv. Rabbeinu Yonason says, well, wait a minute. He did a landfill of 10 tefachim. Let's say the original depth of the charitz was 20 tefachim. So the halacha has to recognize the milui. Why? Because it was a milui of 10 tefachim. We got to give credit where credit is due. So for the 10 tefachim that he filled up, we allow the two chatzeros to join into one eruv, one common eruv. Why? Because there was a landfill, and that itself is recognized by the halacha such that they've joined together. There's a happy marriage between the two chatzeros. Why? Because they created a landfill. So somewhere in the bottom of this charitz, the two chatzeros are actually linked together. But at the same time, there's a charitz, because above the landfill there's 10 tefachim of airspace. And therefore they have another option to say, you know, don't be insulted, but let's part ways and consider it as if there is a mafsik, and you'll set up your eruv on your side of the chotzer with your bnei chotzer, and I'll set up mine on my side of the ditch. That's what I think he's saying. I mean, it's a It's a major breakthrough. He says, Yecholim kol chatzah li'arif li'atzma. Each chatzah could say to his friend, thanks but no thanks, go fly a kite. Go fly your own eru. V'yecholim gam li'arif yachat. But because there was a landfill, that opens up a new vista here of a connection of a tziruf between the two chatzeros. It's almost as if the Halacha, according to Rabbeinu Yonasan, allows for a statement, a proclamation that, in a sense, defies reality and is simply based on the ratzon, on the eager desire or the intention of the two chatzeros to get together and form one chatzer. They could do so by doing an act of milui. Whatever the halacha stipulates in this particular scenario, that constitutes an act of milui. And the act of milui is a sort of objectification to objectify the subjective desire on the part of both chatzeros to join together in one eruv. I'll just read one more line here and then we'll go on. Ulefi zedai shiyeh acharitz malei biyosem yeser amos k'dei sheshuv lo yuchlu li'arev kol chatzel li'atzma. Oh, he adds that according to Rabbi Yonasan, in our scenario where the charitz was 20 tefachim, if he does a milui of 10.1, then they no longer have the option of separating one from the other, because then he removes the mafsik. You're left with 9.9 tefachim of airspace, begova, between the two chatzeros. But if on the other hand they stop at 10 and there is an oath, then they have the option of separating for two eruv. Alright, let's go on. I mean, again, this is very, very profound. Okay. Now, the Mishnah continues. Nasan olav neser. Okay, he puts a plank of wood, a wooden plank. What was the name of that guy? That pirate?
Blackbeard.
What was his name?
Blackbeard.
No, the guy who had the hook, Captain Hook. What was his name?
Captain Hook.
Oh, Captain Hook. So you remember, if you used to read the comic books, they used to have something called Walk the Plank. So anyway, he puts a plank to cover over the ditch. Now, in what direction did he put the plank? It could be to the length, or it could be to the width, to cover the width. Let's assume he's covering the width. How wide of a plank is considered a plank to connect the two chatzeros? Sherochav arba tefachim. So if it's wide enough that it's 4 tefachim wide, and he could pass over the charitz from one chatzah to the other, he's got it like a bridge, that's enough to undo the status of the charitz as a mafsik. He's no longer mafsik, because he can just simply walk the plank, walk the bridge. V'chein shtei guz tros, zu keneged zu. All right, this is a gigantic sugya. I get headaches when I even think of this sugya. So many different possibilities. But let's try the easy way out. I'm looking at two buildings and the facade of two buildings. Each one of these buildings has a terrace, has a porch, which is called a gustura. And now, the question is, can the two homeowners set up a common eruv that would allow them to carry, right, Roger from his from his porch into John from his porch, and vice versa? Can the two of them set up a common Eruv? So again, Zu Keneged Zu means that if you're looking at the facade of both of these buildings, you will see two porches. One that belongs to Roger and the other belongs to John. Okay? So at this point, the Mishnah says, Ma'arvim Shnayim. But Imratu Ma'arvim Echad. Okay. Now, he writes here, again, summarizing Rashi, Depechol al achas me halios shemihem yotzos hagustros. He uses the term alios, which I think he means like a second floor. Now, each one of these houses has a second floor, and you could go out onto the porch from the second floor. And the porch is called a gustra, in plural, gustros. Now, in each one of these floors of the two houses, darim anoshim acherim, there are different people living in each house. Now he says, v'nosan neser. So he's connecting this part of the Mishnah to the previous part. The previous part of the Mishnah, Nosan Olav Neser, which means he put a plank over the ditch. Now he's putting a plank that connects the two porches. So the word Neser here in our Mishnah is going not only on the first case of Achritz, but also on the second case of Gustros. And the Neser, this plank, is once again four tefachim wide, connecting between one gustra and the other. You know, if you ask me, this is even more dangerous than the walk the plank before. Because again, you're talking about a second floor. If Chas V'Shalom falls off the plank, I don't know. It's very dangerous. He says, "Aneser mishamesh lepetach bein shteach atzeros ubein shteach gustaros." The neser in our Mishnah, that plank, will connect the two chatzeros that are separated by a ditch, a chritz, and the two gustaros that are separated by air. And now we're going to give them two options. This is very similar to Rabbeinu Yonason that we spoke about before. Ma'arvim shnayim v'imrotzu ma'arvim echot. The Bnei Achotzer, or the Bnei Kol Gustra, have two options. They can either get together, they can either separate the shnayim and set up their own separate eruvin, as if to say, we're not going to use the plank. The plank is there, but we're not climbing the plank or walking the plank. But if on the other hand they want to get together and consider that plank as a bittle of the charitz, or the airspace between the two gustaros, to integrate the two gustaros, or the two chatzeros together, they're allowed to do so. Okay, now on this we have a long footnote. We'll see exactly how much time we have, and we'll try to go through these footnotes. So again, the minimum size of this neser, this plank, has got to be a width of 4 tefachim. Pochos mikan is if the neser is less than 4 tefachim in width, then it's not a linkage between the two. They would therefore be compelled to have two separate eruvin. They don't have the option of joining together for one eruv. Now, Tosfos, Dibra Maskil V'chein, disagrees with Rashi, and he says that the Neser, in the case of the two porches, is not situated between the two porches. Eino nosein Neser bein agusteros Elo sha'omra mishna sha'oso adin sheyesh lecharitz shebein achatzeros shu rochav arba mesunosin olav Neser rochav arba kedu adin legabe arevach shebein agusteros Shekshein beinem arbot fachim, regilim lava migustra legustra. So that, according to Tosfos, there's no neser between the two porches. That was Rashi's pshat. Tosfos assumes the word neser is only referring to the ditch, to get across from one side of the ditch to the other. In the case of gutros, what we're borrowing is the shear of four tefachim. How much airspace separates the two gustros? Is it four tefachim or more, or less than four tefachim? What's the deal if it's less than four tefachim? Then it's possible to jump over from one gustra to the other. What's the din? He says, K'she'ein b'neim arba tefachim, regilim lava migustra legustra. However, im agustros rechoko zumizu arbat fochim, ein bnei agustros yecholim la'ariv yachad. If the space between the airspace, right, between one gustra and another is more than four tefachim, or four tefachim or more, I should say, they don't have the option of setting up an eruv that would link together those people, the dayarim of one aliyah, together with the dayarim of another aliyah, allowing carrying from one to the other. But if, on the other hand, the airspace between the gustros is less than four tefachim, then we give them two options. They're a gilim, it's very common then for them to cross over from one gustra to the other. It's not dangerous because it's such a small airspace. You don't have to be a tight roper. But we're going to give you two options. Either the bnei gustros could decide by recognizing the fact that it's less than four tefachim, that they are joined and linked together and one eruv suffices, or they could say no, each of the dayarim that has access to the gustros can make a separate eruv, and they have two options. That's the sheet of Tosfos. Now, to add another element into the discussion, the Rishonim want to compare these chatzeros to the case of the Koso. Now, if you recall, we had a Mishnah back on Daf Ayin Vav Amid Beis, and the Mishnah there spoke about a kosel shenifrats. She had a kosel between two chatzeros, and there was a pirtza, in which case the kosel was breached, it was broken, and the question was, how wide was the breach? If it was Nifrat HaKosel Yoser Me'arbot Fochim, is then Ma'arvim Eruv Echad. So that if we had less than four tefachim, they could join together, they have that option of setting up one eruv. Again, they could decide they want to set up two eruvim. This case that we're learning now about either the plank that crosses as a bridge between a bridge over troubled ditches, right? Or according to Rashi, the bridge that traverses the two gusteros, if it's four tfachim, then it's like the case of a kosel, shenifrat ha-kosel yoseh mi'arba tfachim, and then we give them two options. Now again, we're talking about the width of the kosel, which means that you have a kosel that separates two chatzeros. How wide is the breach? So if it's more than four tefachim, then we have two options for the bnei chatzeros. But wait a minute. We have to add another important point. That the kosel is not broken at a height of 10 tefachim. Because if the kosel is broken at a height of 10 tefachim, and the width is more than 4 tefachim, then that's an absolute pirtza. When I say absolute, I mean to say there's no option of one common eruv between the two chatzeros. When do we have two options? That's only if the width was 4 tefachim, but the height was less than 10 tefachim. If the height was more than 10 tefachim of a breach, and the width was more than 4 tefachim, then that's an absolute piritza.
Where's the voting thing? In the car.
Yeah, the car, on the drive, next to the driver. The sukkah is finished, John?
Yeah.
Wow.
Except for the schach.
Yeah, I understand.
Just done by Jews.
But are you happy with it?
I'm happy. I want you to see it.
Okay, great. All right, let's now begin the Sugyas HaGemara, because I see we're kind of running short on time. The Gemara asks the following question. Is it true that Tevin, which is straw, is so temporary that it cannot serve as a sosem? Right, sosem is equivalent to mute, right? To sosem means to clog up this ditch. You don't consider Tevin as a stima in the Chritz. For Anantanan, we have a Mishnah that we didn't get to yet, which is a very, very coming up very shortly. And the Mishnah says, Matbein is what's the English word? For a goddish is like if you've seen all the paintings, Joseph Israel, what?
A haystack.
A stack, correct. So a goddish is the Hebrew word for a stack, and what they used to do is they used to take all the tevin, and they used to stack it together. That's called a matben. Okay. So you could have a straw stack, you could have a haystack, again, different kinds of stacks. And Shebein Shtei Chatzeros, this stack is situated between two Chatzeros, Gavo Asar Tefachim, and now the two Chatzeros are separated by this stack, which is 10 tefachim high, then ma'arvim shnayim ve'ein ma'arvim echad. Each chaser has to set up its own eruv. They cannot join together in one common eruv. Even though and this is how the Gemara understands this Mishnah, that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though the Matbein is very temporary, because what do you do with stacks of straw? You remove them. But as long as they're there, and they're 10 tefachim high, they are a machitza, making it impossible for the two chatzers on the two sides of the matbein to join in one eruv. So we're not going to say, well, since in the future we're going to remove them, therefore it doesn't have a shame machitza, because the machitza has to be something that's permanent. So in the case of the charitz, why does the Mishnah exclude the stima of of teven or kash? Straw hay can be used as a stima. Now, if you would have asked me, I would have said that maybe there's a difference between a gadish, because a gadish, it has its own life, so to speak, its own purpose. Here, he's just filling in a ditch. So is he doing it in a permanent way with the Ofar and Tzvaros, or is he doing it in a very haphazard, temporary way with Teven? What's it called? Teven and... Teven or Kash. But Abaye comes up with a more fundamental distinction. He says, Omar Abaye, le'inyan mechitza, kuliyamalo pligi davi mechitza. In other words, I'm going to prove to you that a temporary mechitza is a mechitza. Aval le'inyan chatzitza, when you're talking about a dover achotzeitz, like the airspace of this ditch, which is a chotzeitz, it means it separates between the two chatzeros, is then the question is whether that chatzitza still exists or not. So, I batli chayetz, I lo batli lo chayetz. If he is adding a landfill of straw, hay in this case, but on a permanent basis, then you could say it's no longer chayetz. It is no longer a ditch because he filled it in. But if he does it only on a temporary basis, that's not called a landfill. So he still has the ditch, the charitz, and that's going to be a chatzitza that separates between the two chatzeros. But as far as a shame, a halachic legal category of a machitza, does it qualify or not, it's irrelevant as to whether it's temporary or permanent. How does Abaye know that in the laws of machitzos, even a temporary machitza is fine? So for this, we have to really go back to a sugya that we learned on Daf Tesvav. I remember even the picture. Maybe I can, if I still have, I put it in the other room, so I'm not going to bother with it. Do you remember, by chance, we had a beautiful diagram of it, which I think I showed you. You have a shayara, you have a group of people who are traveling on Shabbos, and they end up in a kind of a temporary, what was the word we used? A camp, like a camp. And they want to be able to carry from one caravan to the other inside this camp. So you may remember they took their, saddle. They took the saddles from the camels. And if you remember, they piled them up one on top of the other. And they took various food, and they piled them up until they created a machitza that surrounded the entire camp. And that allowed them to carry within that machitza. So that was a machitza that was very temporary. Or they had pillows, I think, also. And all sorts of different utensils that they use. But again, it was extremely temporary. They only did it for the purpose of creating a mefitza. They were going to take it away in order to go to the next stop. And we rely on such a mechitza. Therefore, getting back to the Mishnah of Metaben, and Metaben means that the haystacks, although they were situated in a temporary basis, separating the two chatzeros, nevertheless, if it was Gova Asar Tvachim, it had the dimensions of a mechitza, and therefore it would be a mechitza. Once the mechitza, we have a halacha that a mechitza between two chatzeros requires that they set up two different eruv. Now the Mishnah says, mole afar, that you could place tsroros or afar, and then once you fill up the charitz, that links up the two chatzeros, and they set up one common eruv. And now the Gemara is going to analyze that. So the Gemara says, afilu bistoma. Notice the question is, do we know what his intention is? And the Mishnah just says in a very generic, in a very general way, that if the charitz is filled with offer at Sroros, then it's one Erev and there's no longer mafzik of a charitz. The Mishnah doesn't qualify that, so it seems like it should apply afilu bistoma, even if we don't know what his intention is. Is he really filling in the ditch, the charitz, on a permanent basis or not? And keep in mind, as we just finished saying in Abaye, that with regard to chatzitza, everything depends upon batle or lo batle, whether he meant it permanent as a fill or he didn't mean it permanently a fill. Here in this case of the Mishnah, afilu stoma, we don't know whether he intended to leave it there, these tsoros, or offer on a long-term basis. Vasna, now the Gemara is going to make an analogy between the laws of Erevin, in a case of a chatzitza between two chatzeros, and a similar case in the laws of Olos, in Tumas Mes. And Vatna, we learned in the Mishnah in the 15th parak of Olos, Bias, if you have a house that has a corpse in it, Shemilohu Teven Otsroros Ubitlo Botel. If he fills up the house with straw or with pebbles, so now the entire airspace inside the so-called bias or oil is completely gone, right? Because in its place you have Teven and Tsroros. It's considered sasur, which means the following. Again, we have to know a little bit more about Olos, but the law is that im ein sham avir tefach, if you have a landfill that fills up a house or an oil, leaving no airspace, no opening whatsoever, not even a tefach's worth of an opening, then the tumah is bokeh viola. Now, let's say, for example, the corpse is in the bottom floor of the house. The tumah will now go all the way up to the second floor, third floor, Adler Akia. Why? Because there's no avir tefach. In other words, when there's a corpse, you have to leave, so to speak, an opening for the tumah to go out. Like it's like foul air, so to speak. I mean, pardon the equation. I don't mean to insult the corpse, but that goes up through an opening of a tefach, through a skylight. But if there's no opening of a tefach, then paradoxically, in such a case, we're going to just say the opposite, that the tumah continues up to the sky. And whether or not this milui of Teven or Tsroros is considered a milui in such a way that there's sasum, there's no avir tefach, depends upon what his intention was. Was it bitlo or was it lo bitlo? If it was bitlo, then botel means that he made a decision that he wants to fill up this tent with Tevin and Sroros. In such a case, the Tumah, since now he was Mevatel and the Ol is an Ol Sosum, is Ole Umetame Komashe Omeid Me'al Lemes V'afil Me'al Lebayis. So imagine I'm traveling in an airplane, and the Tumah is now going to go from the corpse through the Sosum all the way up to the airplane. I mean, I don't know if you know anybody who's a Kohen that doesn't travel on El Al airplanes. I once sat next to a Kohen on a trip, an El Al trip, and he had a bag, and he wrapped himself up in the bag because he was afraid that the El Al plane would go over a cemetery. That's called Tuma Stuma, is Olad L'Rakia. It's very relevant to graveyards, because if you stand on top of a grave, the assumption is there's no open space between the corpse and the top of the grave, and therefore it's Olad L'Rakia. So if you stand on top of a grave and you're a Kohen, you're in deep trouble. So the Gemara's Medayik from the Lashon HaMishnah, and with this we'll conclude. Bitlo in, and now we go to the top of Daf Ayin Tes. Lo bitlo lo. That this Tevin and Tzroros will not be batel automatically. We need him to be mevatel it. So let's read a little bit more about Mahil al HaMes. And we're talking about that the mess itself is inside an ohel. And the laws of Tumas Mess for anything else that's inside the same ohel is codified in the second parak of Masechta Olos. And let's say you have a Kizayis Min HaMes, and if a person is in that ohel with the Kizayis Min HaMes, and anywhere, let's say for example the mess is underneath him, then he's Nitma Me'ames. But if the mess is in the ohel and somebody's outside the ohel, then even if he's Keneged HaMes, nevertheless he's not Nitma, because the ohel is Chotzeis Bein Ol Bein HaMes. And the ohel is only considered a chatzitza b'fnei HaMes if it has a halal of a tefach al tefach b'gova tefach. But if the mess is inside an ohel and ein bo gova tefach, that's called tuma ritzutza. And tuma ritzutza is ole ad l'rakia. In other words, it's metame, anything that's chutz la'ohel, and is ma'ayil on the mess, even if it's very, very high, as we said before. So that's point number one. Now, as far as sukkah, there's a Rashi in Masechta Sukkah Daf Dalid that kol haomer shelo yifne mishamas hateven ve'es ha'ofar kol shivis yomer is a bitul. Then in order to be mevatel something so that it could be part of the defanos and the mechitza of the sukkah, you need to leave it there for at least the 7 days of chag. That's called bitul. And the Rosh compares the din of Shabbos, the din of Sukkah, in this regard. And just like as far as Sukkah is concerned, if he doesn't want to take out the Tevin or the Ofer during the entire course of the Chag, it's Bittul. So too in Shabbos, if he has no intention during the course of Shabbos to be Mefana, to take it away, this Ofer, the Tevin, then it's Bittul. But the Ritva in Sukkah says no. That Bittul is when a person declares, I'm not going to take this, I don't want to take it, I want to leave it there, li'olam, on a permanent basis, then the tevin and the offer become batel. The Rush also quotes the same shita in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel and in the name of the Avi HaEzri. Now let's add one more point, and that is that in order for the Charitz not to be considered a hefsek between the chatzeres, he needs to be mevatel the mechitzos of the charitz. And it's not enough that right now the charitz is filled. He's got to be choshev machshava, as if this charitz doesn't exist anymore, as if it's straight karka. And he cannot accomplish that goal without bittel. Now, Tevin which is mentioned in the Mishnah that's not batel, that din applies in general, stam. In other words, when we don't have any evidence, otherwise he puts down the tevin, we assume that he's not being mevatel the tevin. But tevin does lend itself to bittel, as we see here in our sugya, and how much more so in the case of afar, we're going to have to say that in the context of this Mishnah in Olos, when it says tevin otsroros, it must be a case of lo bitlo. But how much more so if bitl operates with regard to tevin and kolshkein, it's going to be meaningful in the case of tsroros. Now, Tosis Divya Maskov HaTnan, which you'll see on the bottom of Ayin Ches Amid Beis, he says that the Gemara's intention is for the Mishnah in Olos in Perek Tes Vav. And the Mishnah there says, Bayis Shemilo Ofar Otsroros Ubitlo is Tuma Bokas Viola Bokas Vioredis. It doesn't say, as we have it here in our Gemara, of Tevin Otsroros. And sometimes it seems that that's the Derech HaGemara in many places, that it doesn't quote the Mishnah in its lengthy version. It sometimes abridges the Mishnah. And Tevin, only if he's Mevatel, it is at Batel. Even though, again, Tevin is not mentioned explicitly in that Mishnah, but the Gemara understands that when the Mishnah says, Ofer Shebitlo Bitel, how much more so that Ofer needs Bitel. And the makom where the tevin and the tsroros are found in the chalal abayis, in the airspace abayis, that's not considered sosum if he wasn't bevatel. So tsroros are not betalim b'makom hanachosom unless he was mevatel them explicitly. And if he didn't spell it out, and we don't know what his intention is, whether he will be taking them out or he won't be taking them out, it's not batel. So how could our Mishnah, that's basically the Gemara's kasha, say that offer of tsroros, even in the case of stam, are considered betalim? And that leads us to Amar Rav Huna on the top here of Ayin Tesam and Aleph. And he interprets that the Mishnah in Olos and our Mishnah are actually at loggerheads. And there is a machlokas between the two. Mantana Olos, the Mishnah in Olos reflects the Shita of none other than Rabbi Yossi. Our Mishnah rejects Rabbi Yossi and holds that Afar, even in the case of Menicho Stam, is considered Batel B'Mokom Sheinicho Sham. And Rabbi Yossi is the author of the Mishnah in Olos who requires an explicit Bittel. And we have to know clearly what his intention is in the case of Tsroros and Afar. And the Gemara is going to actually object to this, because Rabbi Yossi is Ibcha Shaminale. We're going to quote a Braisa which quotes Rabbi Yossi explicitly and indicates from the Braisa that against the Mishnah Olos, rather in a case of Tsroros Stam, there is Bittel. And that's going to be the Gemara's kasha now from a Bryce, a Desanyo. We learned in a Bryce, and this will be our subject for tomorrow. Rabbi Yossi Omer Tevin Vien Hu Osid Lefanoso Hu Kistam Ofar Hu Batel. And we see that Rabbi Yossi holds that Ofar, if we don't know what his future intention is, whether he's going to take it away or not, it's batel. And that's against the Mishnah in Olos. So Mirz Hashem, tomorrow we'll stop here on the top of Daf Ayin Tesam and Aleph, and tomorrow, B'li Neder, we'll try to understand this stira between the way we're interpreting the Mishnah in Olos like Rabbi Yossi and the Braisa Rabbi Yossi, and see if we could find a reconciliation for the two.